Have you not heard? You will find satisfaction in my word. It is sweeter than honey. Taste and see that I am good, and I will satisfy your mouth with good things. I will quench the longing of your soul, for only in me will you be made whole. Darkness will dissipate, light will increase. So come with an open heart and receive. Say this with me. Say, Lord, I've come to receive. I give you praise, and I receive good things from you. Not based on my work, but based on my faith in Jesus. Amen, amen. And he wants to invigorate you with his Holy Ghost and his fire. He wants to re-energize. Some of you, life can make you feel like a deflated tire. But you come here and you can get re-energized. Rejuvenated. Did you know that he renews your youth like the eagle? God's a youth renewer. Because it doesn't matter what's happened on the outside. It said, the Bible says, my inward man is being renewed day by day. Woo. He wants to recharge your batteries. Some of you are like a cell phone with 1% battery left. And you got to be put on the charger so that you can do what you need to do for God. God wants to renew you. He wants to restore. Some of you have lost things from the palmer worm, the canker worm, the caterpillar, and the locust. But God said, I will restore. He's a restorer of things that are lost. Jesus is the lost and found department. And with him, you can make up the time that was lost. You can redeem the time for the days are evil. He wants to refresh you. After all, this is Wednesday night refreshing. So, if you came in there heavy, you're gonna leave lighter. You ain't going to be carrying around that mess that you've been carrying around. Those unnecessary burdens. Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he said. He wants to reawaken you. Sometimes we just enter into a spiritual slumber. And we need to be reawakened. You know, you're in dreamland. You think what's happening is real, but it's a dream. Woo! So are you ready to experience this tonight? I mean, are you really ready? You're here, so you must want to be revived. Because I didn't, like I said, God just kind of gave me. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. We're going to start there. That's a good place to start. Acts chapter 3. This is the theme verse for what we do on a Wednesday night. It came about through a night of prayer a long time ago. And look at the back for just a minute. I didn't plan on that. Look at those words. I didn't even connect those words with what's going to happen tonight. Those words were prophetic. The writing is on the wall. Yeah. Praise God. I just look at that. Those were all the words I just used. is so good. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Peter was just filled with the Holy Ghost, him and 119 other people. They were in an upper room, and they had a divine encounter that breathed new life into the body of believers because they were hiding in fear when Jesus died on the cross. And they were in a place designated by the Lord. He told them to go and wait for the promise of my Father, because I want you endued with power. God does not want to send his church into the world powerless. So they were gathered in this upper room for many days. And they were praying and seeking God and praising him. And then someone say, suddenly. They heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where they were. And tongues like as of fire appeared above each one. Say, I'm ready for some fire tonight. God gave each person his individual dose of holy fire. It sat upon their heads. And as a result, they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this occurred at a time when there was a great festival in the city. And there were people from all other countries at Jerusalem at this time. And some of them thought that this group was drunk. But Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk like you think. He didn't say they weren't. He just said they were drunk in a different way. Okay? After all, God does talk about new wine. And Peter stood up and he began to preach like a man on fire. And he came to this part in verse 19. And he said, repent therefore. I'm so glad that God included a way to adjust and align with God in our walk with him. It's called repentance. When you miss the mark, when you allow your flesh to get in the way of the Spirit's work, when you do stupid things and make dumb decisions, God included, we can repent. We can go back, we can turn around and go back where we came from. Repent, therefore, and be converted. A conversion has to take place. A change has to take place. A metamorphosis, a transformation has to take place. If you've truly repented, a change will occur immediately. The change occurs in the way you think and the way you perceive. Then your actions will follow. Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be what? Blotted out. Let me tell you something. God just doesn't push sin off to the side. He blots it out. Where the sin becomes unrecognizable. How many has ever seen a document where they take the black marker and they mark out sections of the document because they don't want you to see it? You can't read the words because it's blotted out. Okay? Repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When? We're in the when right now. If you've asked when, it's now. Look at your neighbor and say, the when is now. When has arrived? The times, plural. Not just one, but times of refreshing shall come From where? The presence of the Lord. All right? Pull up Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse 11. Not in my notes, but I just, this scripture just came up. You will show me the path of life. How many know there's a path that leads to death and there's a path of life? Which path are you on? Are you going towards life or are you going towards death? Show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. I mean, complete joy. Perfect joy. Unspeakable joy. The fullness of joy. In His presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are what? Pleasures. For how long? Forevermore. How many want joy? This joy is not based on your circumstances at all. This joy is based on His presence. Period. Okay? So there's fullness of joy in His presence, and at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Go with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we're going to look at verse 40. There are a few things in Psalm 119 that He revives in us, or He revives us to. We're going to look at those tonight. And I believe that God's going to confirm His word with signs following. So I believe you're about to get revived. You're about to get resuscitated. Life is about to come over and take over your death and change it. Depression, you got to go right now. Fear, oh no, you cannot stay here. Low self-esteem, bye-bye. Doubt, we're putting you out. Being deceived into following the enemy's plans? No way. Not going to happen. Verse 40. Behold, I have longed after your precepts. Quicken me. That word quicken means to revive or to make alive. Quicken me in your righteousness. Do you realize? There is instant righteousness. Just add Christ. The moment you are connected to Christ, you become righteous. The moment you put faith in Christ, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are made right. You can't earn righteousness, but it is a gift. Abraham believed God. It was accredited unto him for righteousness. The moment he believed, God put in his account righteousness. He couldn't do anything for it. He just received it because of faith. Okay? So God is going to revive us in righteousness. He's going to renew your life with goodness. He's going to give you strength to continue on. How many know, sometimes halfway through, you're almost done. I mean, not with the journey, but it's like, oh man, I don't know if I can take this anymore. But you know what? How many's ever had a second wind? Well, a second wind is about to come tonight. It's on the verge of blowing. A second wind, a spiritual second wind. You know, when you get your second wind, It's amazing what you can accomplish. You thought you could. You thought you were done. You thought you it was the end. But that second wind came. All of a sudden, you're like, "Come on, let's do it. Let's go for it." Go with me to Acts chapter 5. I mean, Acts chapter 8. Acts 8, verse 5. Say, God is renewing me in righteousness. You're made righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done. And when you draw near to Christ, He covers you in His righteousness. So now when God looks at you right now, He sees Jesus. He does not see your past. He does not see your faults. He sees Jesus. He looks through Jesus' colored glasses. Okay? Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached what? He preached Christ, the anointed one, and His anointing. He went down there and preached a simple message of Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. They believed what he said. Okay? And as a result, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, God likes to demonstrate His word. Say this: if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Then you just choose what God said. Okay, verse 7. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. They said, oh my goodness, they're hearing the message of Christ. The demons were upset because they could not stay where they were anymore. The demons were dislodged because of the message of Christ. People who were in darkness were brought into light. People who were dead were made alive because of the message of Christ. In one moment, they were connected to the righteousness of God. They went from being evil to being holy. They went from a stranger and an alien to being God's child, to be having a citizenship in heaven. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were what? Healed. When you get reconnected with righteousness, things are made right in your body. And then verse 8, and there was what? What kind of joy? When you think of the word great, what do you think of? Did you know that great joy is coming to you right now? Great joy. Overwhelming joy. I mean, why did he use the word great? Why couldn't he just say joy is coming? Because God is too good. He's able to do it exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask with great joy. Say this, say, I have great joy. Great joy is in my heart. I'm a great rejoicer. There's joy inside me that needs to be expressed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, come on, express some of that joy. Don't contain it. Oh, you know, faith is action, isn't it? Faith is acting on what God's word says. You take what God's word says and you act it out. That's faith. Great joy. So, they were revived in righteousness. Did you know that God has got some fresh strength for you tonight? Fresh strength. Because right now, you're waiting on God. But the Bible says those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Everybody spread out your arms like this. It says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Right? Get ready to fly. They shall run and not be weary. That's your life. They shall walk and not faint. That's day to day. Running and not being weary is for your life. Walking and not fainting is day to day living. Okay? Did you know that God, who is rich in mercy, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7. God, who is rich in mercy, that means he's got enough mercy to go around for everyone who needs it. His mercy is so vast it gets new every morning. Imagine the interest that God earns on mercy if it's new every morning. Think about that. You talk about compound interest? God's mercy is new every morning. He is rich in mercy. Whew. Because of his great love with which he loved us. Say, God loves me with a great love. Say it again. Say, God loves me with a great love. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. That tells me it doesn't matter how bad it's going to get, God can change it around. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can I have a volunteer? Come on up here, please. Come on, volunteer, come on. Come now, quickly. This man was just, he was dead in sin, but he's been washed by the blood of Jesus. He's been given a robe of righteousness, and he says, come here, son. I want you to sit up higher. You've been made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. So where Jesus is sitting, you get to hang out with Jesus. Just because you believed in him, just because you called upon him, he gave you a front row seat. He gave you a backstage pass into his presence. Now just wait a minute. He made us sit together with him in heavenly places. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. So God gave you a front row seat, and it's going to take ages. He's going to show you how good he really is. But he is so good, it's going to take so long. That's why you need a glorified body to endure it. But you've got a front row seat with Jesus. That's it. You can go sit down. He made you sit together. Made you sit together with Christ in heavenly places. He gave you a box seat in the grandstand. You get to sit next to the King. Woo! Hallelujah. Number two, go to Psalm 119, 88. Psalm 119, 88. Say, I'm being revived. Right now, you don't have to wait. God is pouring his love on you. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. And if wickedness told you to do something, do the opposite. Don't do what wickedness says do. Psalm 119, verse 88. Quicken me after your loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of your mouth. That word loving kindness is compassion. Did you know that when God revives you, He increases your compassion. And compassion moves you to action. All right? Let me show you this. There'll be a supernatural increase in mercy, grace, and compassion when God revives you. Go with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And let's start with verse 32. Matthew 20, verses 32 through 34. Jesus had encountered two blind men. And in verse 32, Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will you that I do for you? Name your miracle." How many need a miracle? Did you know that a miracle is in your mouth? Name your miracle. Declare what you want God to do. Okay? Name your miracle. They said unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Well, couldn't Jesus see that they were blind? They still had to declare it. What do you want God to do? Declare it. Declare it. Open your mouth. When you open your mouth, God will open his heart. And verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So the Lord's compassion healed the blind. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And look at verse 41. Mark 1, 41. Well, you can look at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him. What did the leper do? He came to him. Right? Too many people want Jesus to come to them. But he wants you to come to him. He wants you to move toward him. Any move toward God is a step to victory. It's a step to safety. Okay? If you will, you can make me clean. This leper did not doubt his ability, but he doubted his willingness. I know you can, but will you do it for me? And I love how Jesus answered that statement or that question. Jesus moved with what? Compassion. Put forth his hand and touched him. Let me tell you something. Jesus' touch is greater than leprosy. There was no fear in Jesus of leprosy coming on him. He knew that he was not afraid to touch the leper. Jesus is not afraid to get you where you are. He touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." As soon as he had spoken, everybody say immediately, the leprosy went bye-bye. The leprosy said, "I'm out of here, man." The leprosy loosed its grip on this man. Leprosy is a type of sin. Even though it's a skin disease, it makes, you know, there's different levels of leprosy, and but it went bye-bye, right? So let me just give you these others. You don't have to go there. Mark 5:19. Christ's compassion delivered one possessed of devils. The man from Gadara, he had compassion on him. He was in his right mind, fully clothed. His compassion delivered demonic oppression. So if you've been oppressed by the devil, God's compassion is here tonight. Listen, we do not need to give place to the devil in anything. Give no place to the devil, period. Don't let him negotiate an inch. You resist him. Stand fast in the faith. You do the opposite, because everything that comes out of the devil's mouth is a lie. You do the opposite. Mark 8:2, Christ's compassion fed a multitude. They were traveling with Jesus for 3 days, and he had compassion on them because they hadn't eaten anything for 3 days. You talk about some dedicated churchgoers. They missed a meal for 3 days, and they were having church service those 3 days. And Jesus had compassion on them, and he fed them out of a little. He fed a multitude out of a little. Compassion will make things multiply. Luke 7:13, a young man had died. His mom was a widow, and Jesus had compassion on her. He touched the young man and raised him from the dead. Compassion raised him from the dead. And in Luke 10, we know the story of the Good Samaritan. It was compassion that moved a man to help a stranger. It was compassion. So expect your heart to be filled with compassion as God revives you tonight. We need compassion. We need to make allowances for people. God's life will fill you full of his love. Hope makes not ashamed. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Say this with me. Say, the Holy Ghost is spreading God's love in my heart. Is that, you know, did you know that his love makes your faith work? This is how God's reviving us. Revival begins tonight. What does revival look like? Jump in and find out. You know what? We always talk about revival, but let's be a revival. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a revival boom somewhere to happen. Teenagers, your schools need a revival. Be the revival. Be the light. Stand up for Christ. Speak the word. Be in season and out of season. It may be like Esther for such a time as this. That's why you're there. Be Jesus in your workplace. Be Jesus in your neighborhood. Someone needs to be. It doesn't matter where you are. You're a Christian wherever you go. So wherever you go, be Christ to those people who get blessed by your presence. I mean, after all, you don't have anything to lose because you win irregardless. But what if they criticize me? They criticize Jesus. Did that stop him? What if they mock me? They mock Jesus. Did that stop him? Don't let that stuff stop you. I don't know what people are going to say. Who cares? What's he going to say? Let's start being Christ where we are. All God needs is a vessel. A vessel of honor, meet for the use. Meet for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Right now, you're getting prepared for good work. God will revive you according to his word. His word is spirit and life. His word can change a circumstance. His word can bring down a stronghold. His word can silence any demon. You can tell a demon, hold your peace, and they won't be able to talk. Seriously. He's going to revive us according to his word. Psalm 119, 149. He's going to revive us according to his justice. Did you know that God is the judge and Jesus is your attorney, and neither one of them has ever lost a case? And did you know that you could come boldly before the throne or before the judge and you could present your case? The Bible says you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He will represent you. He will speak on your behalf. And when he pleads the blood, your case is settled. You've got to understand the authority that you operate in. How do you come before the throne? Come boldly. You come with confidence. You come believing what Jesus Christ has done. What are you going to get at the throne? You're going to find, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. When do you need grace? I don't know about you, but I need grace every day. It's right there, but it's before the throne. You got to go before the throne in his presence. And when you get grace, he'll give you joy. He'll give you love. He'll give you help. You'll get a whole lot more than what you bargained for. Those who are planted, Psalm 92:13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. You want to flourish in your court, in his court? Then get planted. Get planted by the rivers of living water. Woo! Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Praise him. Habakkuk 3:2. It says that we will be revived. His work will be revived in the midst of the years. Did you know that maybe you started a project and you haven't finished it? It needs to be revived. Maybe you were stuck in the middle. There was one night when Jesus' disciples, they were stuck in the middle of the sea. They couldn't go forward, couldn't go backward, couldn't go to the right. They were stuck. Their progress was stopped. Then Jesus came walking on the water. At 3:00 in the morning, he walks to where his disciples were stuck. And the moment they got him into the boat, they got to where they needed to be. The moment that he was entered the boat, their destiny was renewed. They got to their destination. They made progress the moment that Christ came in the boat. They were stuck without Jesus. But the minute Jesus came near them, that boat went. And all the progress they lost was made up in just one moment. It just went. They got to the other side. They got to where they needed to be. Maybe your progress is stuck because maybe you've kind of drifted away from Jesus a little bit. Maybe the anchor to your soul has been lifted up and you've been kind of being tossed by the waves and the wind. It's time to let down the anchor again. And then finally, God's going to revive us in his judgment. Psalm 119:156. Realizes how great and tender God's mercies are. He is revived by God's judgments. Did you know that God's judgments are righteous altogether? And when we take heed to his judgments and put them into practice, they work. So God wants to revive you tonight. He wants to fill you up. Not that just you're full. But he wants you to overflow. He wants your fullness to spill out on others. He wants you to bubble up where he just oozes out of you. You know, when you shake up a bottle of soda and you got people that are close to you and you open that soda, what happens? They're going to get some soda on there. God God wants you to be able to get some soda on some others. You can't do that just by being full. You got to overflow. Amen? So, God wants to revive you tonight. What is your response? Those who call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says they shall be saved. Amen? So if you want to be saved, I'm not talking about salvation. You're already saved, but saved from whatever mess that has happened. Begin to call upon Him right now. Begin to cry out for Him in the name of Jesus. Begin to praise Him. It's like you've never praised Him before. Begin to take a move towards God. Take a step towards God. And let Him fill you full. Yes, He's turning your morning into dancing. Oh yeah, He wants to rejoice.